Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hobbyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, why is anime dumb at times?
Because why do weebs not take showers? I don't know, man. Like, you got it. You know, when it's like TV, like anime is not just one genre. It's like TV. There's like Hallmark. There's, you know, scary movies. You got shit. You got to appeal to everybody, no matter how dumb their tastes are.
Dude, I got three major complaints right now. I just gotta get it off my chest, Danny. I don't want to derail the show, but we're derailing it.
It's not derailing if we haven't gotten on the rails yet. So,
if the train hasn't left the station.
Yeah. I think that's just called tipping over. I don't even know if it's derailing. Or just delaying the departure.
Complaint number one. I need to see anime's manager right now.
All right. Kevin.
What? So, like, I'm trying to look up an anime, Danny, and I'm, you know, and it's the original title. So I'm looking for something. I've looked through Funimation, I looked through all the different channels, I'm like, I can't find it. So then I go back, and I Google, like, where can I watch this? And it's like, oh, do you mean, you know, this English title that's not looped in anywhere, and this is the anime you're looking for? It's just on Crunchyroll. And it's like, I bring it up on VRV, like, in a second, once I enter in the correct title. But it's like, when I'm trying to, like, when I'm looking at the original title on Reddit, versus, and then they change it into an English title, and there's no references anywhere about it. It's very frustrating.
Well, I think I've said before how you find your anime from memes, and I find mine from YouTube channels.
Yeah.
They always have the original Japanese title of the show, mm-hmm. like, on the channel. Like, they'll have it in the video or somewhere, or in, like, the notes. Mm-hmm. And so I've just learned to go just straight to the Google and type in the Japanese name and then the word anime and then stream. And it'll pop up. Like, the English title will pop up and where it's streaming.
Yeah. A Sister's All You Need. That's the original title. Or that's the English title.
Okay.
I guess if I would have just kept clicking on the links on Reddit, I would have found it instead of just the first one.
Yeah, but that's how I find anime, is I Google the Japanese term and then anime and stream just to find out where I can find it.
Yeah. Complaint number two. Why is it that whenever a character doesn't have an umbrella and gets rained on, the next day they have a fever and are dying?
For the plot?
Damn the plot. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, because they want to dispel the myth that stupid Americans have that it's unmanly or only kids carry umbrellas. Because, like, I saw a tweet somebody posted on Reddit. It was like, What's about, like, adults still carry umbrellas? And to which someone replied, wait, I didn't know you became waterproof when you turned 18.
It's like, oh no, I gave you my umbrella and I got wet. Oh no, the next day I have a cold and I'm running a fever.
Well, also, I think that's also, like, especially when it comes to the, hey, I gave you my umbrella, and then the person who took the umbrella is supposed to, like, feel guilty now because that other person got sick because that person shared their umbrella.
Did, like, the cold virus just go, uh-oh, this guy's in the rain, let's go after him?
I don't know. I'm surprised there haven't been more, like, tropes in anime of the whole, like, let's eat lunch and go swimming, and then everyone gets a cramp. Or other bullshit lies our parents told us.
Let's go in the water.
Oh, no, I got a cramp. Someone's got to save me.
Cramp.
Okay. Complaint number three, Sean.
Whenever there's, like, a romantic, or, I guess, scene between, like, people that are interested, whenever there's, like, you know, they're watching them eat, there's always, like, way too much spit coming out of, like, this with the spoon. It's just, like, why is there, like, over preference of saliva on these things when they're, like, zoned in on their crush? Like, it's very disturbing.
I mean, they kind of use the same, like, over saturation of moisture effects on hentai, too, so I think it's just an animation thing.
I don't know, man. It's getting real irritating. Those three things, man.
Or when anime girls eat. You know, they always have that, sound. They have to, like, super exaggerate their bite.
Yes.
And then I sent a YouTube video to the group chat. Did you watch it?
No.
About the teeth?
No, I totally forgot.
So basically the argument was, like, he was like, you know, everyone has, like, their characteristics that they love in waifus. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the fang. And there's an argument between teeth fangs or skin fangs. And he's like, teeth fangs are semi-natural because it's your teeth. And sometimes teeth are shaped like that. He's like, skin fangs, that's not natural. As a matter of fact, that's not healthy. And he's like, that's cancer. Instead of, like, cancer, like lip, mouth cancer or whatever. He's like, that's cancer. That fang is hanging from a spot, is a growth from a spot where cancer grows from. He's like, so in the future, you know, if you love your waifu as much as you claim you do, only love the ones that have teeth fangs. And the ones that have skin fangs, you need to take them to the hospital because they're going to die from cancer. Which there's, like, the one anime that I'm currently watching, the Uzaki-chan wants to hang out. She has this. Jody immediately noticed. She's like, wait, is her fang, like, her lip? Because it's the same color as her skin.
True. She needs to go to the hospital.
And then there's another one that's a manga right now, but they announced they're making it into an anime.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatori.
Hmm.
And it's basically the story about this, like, nerdy kid that, like, is at the library, and these, like, you know, older girls come and start being bullied to him. And then one of the girls realizes that it's a little more fun than she, like, wants to admit bullying him. So she kind of just, like, follows him around, similar to the Uzaki-chan. But instead of, like, wanting to be his friend or whatever, or relieve him of boredom, she just does it to kind of relieve herself of boredom.
Yeah. I feel like Uzaki wants to hang out is, like, the new meme generator now that Love is War is gone.
It is. I mean,
like,
every
week there's, like, new anime memes from it.
It's very meme worthy. Yes.
I have to see. That's the thing that I love the most is I know when the next episode is out because I start seeing memes. I don't recognize the screenshot. Like, then this past week, it's like, everybody look at him and laugh, and I'm like, interesting. There must be a new episode out that I have to go watch.
Yes, there's a scene where she takes him to buy glasses because his eyes are hurting from playing too much video games, and they run into somebody else there, and, like, they're just doing the whole thing where they're making him try on funny glasses and laughing at him.
Classy.
So, yeah, that's where that scene comes from.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you know, another 3, 5, 6 things, and I'm done watching anime if I find any more complaints.
you're on the verge of being on the verge of the verge of your breaking point.
Exactly. So, Danny, what are you drinking to get through this anime pain?
The anime pain. So I'm drinking a beer from Bottle Logic Brewing called Distant Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
It is a barrel-aged pineapple golden stout.
Interesting.
And so it's an imperial golden stout aged in bourbon barrels and finished with coconut, coffee, pineapple, and contains lactose.
Pineapple? That's a weird one.
So basically it's a Hawaiian coffee cake beer inspired by the interstellar object Uwi Aui Mui Mua. I don't know. I know in Hawaiian it's like speaking Spanish where you have to, like, pronounce every vowel or every letter. But I bought it, like, semi-recently, and it says, I, like, was looking, trying to figure out what to drink, and I was like, wait, I bet this one says drink fresh. And sure enough, there's some that say, because they have a little, like, thing where it says, like, cellar. And they changed on the new labels where now it says cellar, and then there's an okay or a drink fresh, and so this one has the drink fresh check.
Gotcha.
And it serves 2 8-ounce pours at, and it comes in at 13.04% alcohol, which they're very precise. But like, when I told my wife, I gave my wife a taste and she liked it, and I forgot there was coffee in it. But now that I'm reminded, that's what that smell is that I couldn't place. Like the coffee with the pineapple, it's very like caramely smell.
Hmm, gotcha.
Oh man, that's good. That's so good. It's like, it's sweet enough that it hits all, because it hits the flavors it's supposed to have, like the pineapple, right? And the coconut and the coffee, like bring as sweetness, but that barrel just cuts it down so it's not like you're, you know, blended up a piece of cake and drinking it. But I'm drinking this one today actually because this past week was like the release of their this year's flagship beer that started all of their barrel aging stuff, the Fundamental Observation.
Yeah.
And in the past, the Saturday, like they put this beer on sale on Sunday, and then the Saturday after, they have a huge to-do where they have like multiple variants. They'll usually have like four or five different variants that you can only get on that day. And then when they sell the beer, they sell like one of the variants, like in bottles, and it's very limited. It's very hard. Like that one will sell out in the fraction of the time that the FO sells out.
And then it'll get put on the internet for like $300.
Well, that's the thing now, is because BottleLogic is expanding even more than they've expanded in the past. You can go right now to like La Bodega or El Cerrito or any of the other like bottle shops like that, and get like last year's and maybe even the year before's FO, because they've made so much of it that it's not a hype beer. And so because of that, all the people that bought it to flip just shit talk it on the social media posts by BottleLogic. And so like,
BottleLogic's so dumb, they make so much beer I can't flip it and make money.
Exactly. Yeah, BottleLogic's cutting into my day job. And so like the first year that they made a lot and it didn't sell out in like 3 minutes, people were immediately like, oh, I know why it didn't sell out. It's because it didn't taste like they're skimping on the vanilla, or they're doing this. And it's like, nah, dog. Like, you're just mad because you can't like you can't flip it for, you know, 4, 5 or 6 times what you paid for it, or more, you know, 10 times even.
Yeah, dude, totally not cool.
And somebody posted on, there's a Facebook group I'm part of, the Orange County Beer Society, mm-hmm. and they asked like, so what do you guys think of this year's BottleLogic? And like, some people were like, I is for infected, or I'm 78% sure they put vanilla in this year's batch.
I is for infected. Jeez, yeah, because I think BottleLogic would just put infected beer out there.
Right. I mean, I know that happened with Goose Island. Like, the first year they, like, were bought out by, after they were bought out by InBev. But they handled it pretty quick. I don't think BottleLogic is to the point of distributing Fundamental Observation nationally, because that's what that was the year when they first did that, where like you can, you know, instead of having to go to Chicago to get the beer, you can actually go to like a liquor store in your state and get Fundamental Observation. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. It's just sad when people like base the quality of beer on like the scarcity of it, not the actual quality of the beer.
True.
So, Sean, what are you drinking?
From Allagash, I'm having a Barrel and Bean. This is a triple ale brewed in bourbon barrels and blended with cold brew coffee.
Nice.
So, not too bad. So, it is a Belgian style golden ale, and they age it for 7 weeks before they blend in the cold brewed coffee. So, flavor notes include vanilla, caramel, and a dash of cold brew coffee.
And apparently, fans of that brewery don't like it if you call it the Gash.
Oh, the Gash?
Yeah. What are you drinking? I'm drinking some of the Gash.
Oh, instead of saying Allagash?
Yes. Drinking the Gash. Hey, man. See if they have any of the Gash at the store. Pick me up some. Pick me up a six-pack of the Gash.
Bro, let's go hang out at the Gash. Get some brewskis.
I mean, it does sound a little crude. But yes, it's fun to annoy. It's like when people from San Francisco don't like being called Frisco. Like, that's a city in Texas.
Let's all go to Frisco, boys. This is a 10% ABV, though. It's pretty well blended. It's not a dark beer. Even though it is Belgian style, which I was hoping, like, it would not. I don't get a lot of that yeasty taste. I don't get any of that weird yeasty taste. And it seems like the, when you have it, because I don't really get bourbon from it either, which is surprising. So I think the cold brew coffee just kind of nixes everything at the end. I don't know. I can't really get the vanilla either. So, I mean, I think the beer is fine. I just don't know if it's as fancy as it says on the bottle with all the different things that you should be tasting.
Right. Yeah, I ended up this week drinking a beer. It was a barrel aged. It's called Zazu, and it was from a brewery in San Diego, the original 40, mm-hmm. and it was a collaboration with Horace Ales. Gotcha. And it was aged in Buffalo Trace barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm drinking, and it was like classified as an imperial dessert stout. And let me tell you, man, it was probably one of the best stouts I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Like, it wasn't super sweet, but it tasted like hot chocolate milk. Like, not hot because of, like, temperature, but hot because of the bourbon. You know? Like, boozy. It tastes like boozy chocolate milk. But it was so easy to drink, and it was, like, 14%, and it did not feel like it at all.
Yeah.
So, sometimes the bourbon can, like, you know, just add a flavor, or sometimes it can make it, like, hard to drink.
Yeah, it happens.
It does. Oh, man. Speaking of things that happen, Sean. So, apparently, both California and New York passed rules that, like, bars had to close unless they served food because mm-hmm. of the whole virus.
Yeah.
And so, bars had, like, that didn't have kitchens found loopholes, right? So, like, some places were selling, like, Uncrustables. And, like, this one is in upstate New York. Like, you could buy, like, a piece of meat. One piece of sliced charcuterie meat for $1. Or you can just buy a few grapes. Or, like, 9 French fries for $1. Like, it was their dollar value meal. Or the smallest piece of cheesecake in Buffalo, right? And so places out here were doing that, too. Out in California were doing that, where it's, like I said, like, Uncrustables or, like, a French fry, just to try to, like, pass the
just loophole. One fry.
Yes, like, we sold them food, man. Like, what do you want? And so now apparently California and New York are both, like, lunch shaming people because apparently, like, buffalo wings and fried calamari or fried cheese sticks aren't considered a meal. Or, like, you can't just go to a bar and order, like, a big order of, like, pot stickers or dumplings, even though that sounds like an amazing meal.
Right.
So apparently, like, the code is meals means that the usual assortment of foods commonly ordered at various hours of day, that the service of such foods and victuals only as sandwich and salad shall deem a compliant with this request. So, like, for example, although multiple courses are not required to constitute a meal, in order for the patron to be served as a meal, there should be sufficient quantity that would constitute the main course in a multiple-course dining experience. It is often easier to describe what does not constitute a bona fide meal in that regard. While the statute excludes mere offerings of sandwiches and salad. Wait, you can't just order a salad as a lunch? Like,
when I thought that was – I think people were pushing that to eat salads for lunch.
Right, or a sandwich.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you order a sandwich, I guess you must need, like, chips or something with it on the side. You can't just have a sandwich. Even though, what if it's a big-ass sandwich?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
So, like, Subway isn't serving meals? The department does recognize that many sandwiches and salads are substantial and can constitute legit meals. Once again, the department looks at the totality of the circumstances and generally considers the prepackaged sandwiches and salads would not typically meet this standard. So the people that I work with and they buy like a sandwich out of the vending machine for lunch aren't eating a meal?
Nope.
Because it's prepackaged? Snacks such as pretzels, popcorn, nuts, pickles, and chips. 4, food ordinarily served as appetizers or first courses such as cheese sticks, fried calamari, chicken wings, pizza bites as opposed to pizza, egg rolls, potstickers, flautas. It's like, wait, you can get like a like El Torito, you can get a plate of like 4 flautas with like sour cream and guacamole, and that's a meal. So am I getting ripped off at El Torito?
I think so, man. You need to talk to them.
I need to talk to their manager?
Yeah.
And it's cups of soup and any small portion of a dish that may constitute the main course when it is not served in full portion. Side dishes such as bread, rolls, french fries, onion rings, small salads, green, potato, macaroni, fruit. So they threw all salads in. Rice, mashed potatoes, and a small portion of food. I'm being food shamed. I feel attacked.
But okay, so my bowl of cereal isn't a meal for breakfast?
I mean, is that goes back to the age-old question, is cereal a soup?
And the brownie I ate with it, does that count? I think I had multiple items for breakfast. I think I'm okay.
Yeah, you're good. If you had like a bowl of cereal with the brownies, I mean that's like not only is it healthy, but it's well funded. I mean, like, I've like bought like frozen potstickers and made a whole bunch of them for Jody and I to have for dinner. That's, I don't know, man. I just feel like this is like the first law where I just feel personally attacked by the state of California. California. I need to move out now because I don't agree with their definition of what a meal is.
I heard Nashville, Tennessee is very open-minded.
Unless you're a brewery that wants to stick it to the man and say, no, it's not. Oh, man. Have you heard if New Jersey's doing anything crazy like that?
No, it's all restaurants are like outdoor eating, and even some of the bars and breweries, they could only have outdoor patios, so like you don't have to serve food, but you can't like sit people inside still. So you could have a lot of breweries have like their beer gardens open and doing right. Like to go, so like at least the breweries are open though, so you could go right to the brewery. It's just kind of weird because it's like you're outside. Like I drove by one and they had a giant fan like blowing at everybody, so I'm like, I was just thinking, if you're that first table and you just sneeze, like all your germs are just getting blown to the next person,
right? Especially if you're like either not wearing a mask, you're the kind of person that like doesn't want the inside of your mask to be gross, so you lower your mask to sneeze and then put it back up. Even though that's the whole point of wearing the mask, is to sneeze into the mask.
Yeah.
That's why you wash your mask.
Yeah, like all the tables are, you know, 6 feet apart or whatnot. So.
Yeah, they're doing. That's the same thing I hear. Like, yeah, even though if you do serve food, you can't have inside seating. So, like a lot of the places are allowed to have like expand their serving area and have like tables outside in places they weren't allowed to have tables in the past. And like a couple, like last, my wife wants to like go have lunch with her dad like once a month. And she went last month, and then she wants to go next week. And she's like, do you want to go? And I'm like, not if we have to eat outside. It's going to be like – and he lives in Hemet. And it's going to be like 100 degrees. I'm like, I'm not going to eat outside in 100 degrees. Because even like when they went last time, they went to this – they would try to go to a couple restaurants, and both the first two restaurants they wanted to go to were closed. And then they went to a third one, and they had outside seating. And even the hostess was like, are you sure you guys want to eat here? Like – you know it's bad when the workers are trying to talk you out of it.
Right?
Like, you know it's we're in Hemet and it's like 100 degrees outside. Are you sure you want to eat outside? And my answer would have been like, you know what? She makes a valid point. Let's just get in the car and go home.
Right. Just better to grab and go. Grab and go.
That's what we've been doing. Like, it's amazing, like, going to, like, the food lab. It's like a adult food court, so they have like a bar and they also have a beer, like a tap room type thing where it's just like they don't brew the beer, but they have multiple beers on tap. Mm-hmm. You can get, like, in the past, like, if you ordered a can, something that's in a can or a bottle, you had to drink on premises. Now it's like you can go get like a whiskey drink and like a can and a bottle of beer and take it to go home. And nobody's died, I don't think, from it yet. So I don't know why they have to go back to the stupid Stone Age laws before.
Yeah. Think about how much more restaurants are now on different food apps.
Right. Well, they talk about that too. Like, they say, like, it's better if you just, like, order directly from the restaurant and go pick it up or take advantage of their delivery than going through, like, any of the food delivery apps, because they take such a huge chunk away from the restaurant.
Mm, that's fair.
And, you know, I mean, it depends. Like, if you're ordering from, like, I guess a national chain, then screw them. Take all the money you can from them. But if you're going to, like, a small mom-and-pop shop, then take the effort to go help them out.
That's fair.
So YouTube has made some new policies, Sean.
Did they now?
One of them, and they both affect people that want to be monetized on the YouTube. Which is interesting if people that are on the tickety-talk have to go back to YouTube when Donald Trump bans it.
Oh, I hope they'll be okay.
I mean, yeah, it sucks. It's funny because people make fun of them, but it's like, dude, they found a way to make, it's like the American dream is to find a way to make money and make money off of it. But because you don't agree with it, then it's a joke. Like, just because the American dream wasn't what it was in the 1920s doesn't mean, you know, it's still not there. It's just different. You're supposed to hustle, make money, and then work as a bartender, get yourself through school, and then become elected a government official so that people can make fun of you and call you a communist and a conservative YouTube person can talk about how much he wants to lick your feet.
Yeah.
But now they made it so that if you want to be monetized, you can't swear in your videos.
Well, good thing this fucking show ain't going on YouTube.
Well, I mean, it's not like we make any fucking money anyways.
You guys are getting paid for this?
Right? Yeah, you're always like, a lot of the podcasts I listen to, they're like, give money to our Patreon. And I'm like, dude, I'm giving that money to my Patreon. Like me.
Right. Yeah.
But then the other one that they're going to do, which might be good for like the YouTube audience, is they're getting rid of the 10-minute window to be monetized.
Oh, so you don't have to do it. Your videos don't have to be at least 10 minutes long.
Yeah, you don't have to have, like, a guy that makes his YouTube videos that, like, he could probably make the point in 3 minutes, but the video is, like, 10 minutes and, like, 2 seconds long every time. Like, literally, like, or within, like, a second either way, plus or minus 1 second.
Yo, guys, this is Sean. We're playing Destiny 2 on Xbox. You know, Xbox has a lot of game, but this is Destiny 2 we're playing. We're going to talk about this little glitch. Now, this glitch was, you know, not probably planned by Bungie.
Oh, you forgot to stay tuned to the end of the video when I tell you what the glitch is.
Yeah. And then, like, the last, like, brought to you by Shadow League or whatever that one that sponsors everyone.
Or VPN.
Yeah.
Oh, also, you know, VPN companies, one of the big things is, like, they claim that nobody knows, nobody keeps track of, like, where you're actually logging in from.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point of VPN is, like, if you want to, like, you can say that you're in England so that you can watch, like, stuff on, like, Netflix or whatever that's only available in England.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, whatever reason you want to say you're in England. Except a couple of the major VPN providers got hacked. And in the files that were hacked was the location of all the people that use it, the actual location that they said that they don't keep, they don't store anywhere, that it just disappears as soon as you log off.
Lies, lies, lies. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you buy a VPN, we know exactly where you are. And we know what you're jerking off to. We're going to tell your mom. Sean.
I don't use VPN.
Yeah, I know. But the other stuff is true. I was wondering what you would deny.
Yeah.
But then, so Brie Larson during the quarantine, because she can't act And not because she's not a good actress. I mean, she can't act because there's no roles being available. She has decided to make a YouTube channel.
Oh, really?
And, yes. And so there's this dude. He's one of the douchebag YouTubers that I like see his videos pop up. And he showed up on Reddit about something else about her, I guess. And basically he was like, first he was claiming that like nobody's watching her channel. But then he claimed that because people watched his video and went over to her channel, that's the only reason she has views.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this dude that has like 3,000 subscribers. And I, you know, when I saw this story, it was about a week ago, about a couple of days ago when I saw the story, almost a week ago. Like her newest video had only been up for a day at that point. It already had like 50,000 views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy has like 3,000 subscribers. So he's like, yeah, dude, your 3,000 subscribers are carrying her. But in the next video, he said that nobody's watching her videos. And it's like, dude, her video is like a day old and has 50,000 subscribers. That's amazing. You know, on YouTube, you know what I'm saying? Like, just leave her alone. And then, but then the best part is, even though the movie's not even in talks or like, I don't even think anybody's even thought about making this movie, and maybe they will because of this, but she just threw out on either her YouTube channel or social media that if Nintendo ever decides to make a Metroid movie, that she calls dibs on playing Samus.
I mean, she definitely fits the profile, I feel like. But I mean, I don't know. How are you going to... I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what they do. I've never played a lot of Metroid, so I don't know if there's, like, a decent story to make something.
I know there's a story that carries on throughout all the games, but I don't know how much, like, dialogue there is.
Yeah, and if they make a movie, they have to do it where she's able to roll into like a little ball and like boop bombs, or else it'll be ruined.
Right, or like roll through little tiny passages. At least, well, I don't know, because they did that when they made the I want to say Doom movie with The Rock.
And this is super unrealistic. It's in the game, bro.
Because they did that, but they did it twice. Where they did the part where like, you were like running down, like they were in a fight, and they did the part where you were like, you had the view of the video game character, and they did it like you were in the game.
Yeah.
And people who played it were like, that's amazing. And then, of course, some people had to like ruin the fun and be like, that's fucking stupid.
That's stupid. Why would I want to be in that person view? Have you ever played a Doom game? What's a Doom game?
Right.
I just watch movies and critique them on my YouTube channel.
So, you know, like, if they made Metroid now, I wonder how people would react. Because one of the biggest... That was, like, one of the biggest, like, surprise endings of a game when I was a kid. Because you play the game, the whole game, as this armored character.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's only after you defeat the game that they take off the helmet and you realize that you were playing as a girl.
I just imagine, like, the helmet comes off and it's, like, Baywatch moment with the hair flopping around, like... Yeah.
Well, no, I just... How many people would be like, oh, great, just another social justice warrior game ruining. Like, why do you have to force a woman in there? Like... because that game came out when they were kids. They're like, yeah, why can't... You know, if you're going to put a woman in a video game, it should be like Metroid. Because, like, she shut up and we didn't know it was a woman until the end. Like, why does this girl have to talk and ruin this game?
Right.
But, yeah, I mean... It could be a pretty interesting movie. As long as they don't fuck it up as bad as, like, Battleship. I think that's, like, the worst, like, board game or video game adaptation to a movie ever. But they had to throw Rihanna in there. And she does use Umbrella Ella's, Sean, so she doesn't catch the flu or get cold. Or get sick, I mean.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad she doesn't catch a cold.
So
it's a good thing that she used her umbrella.
And then Joe Rogan caused some controversy amongst his loyal fan base, Sean.
Oh boy, what happened? Do you call him out for being a bunch of idiots?
Not necessarily. And like if you take the quote out of context, I guess you can understand why they were a little upset. But reading the whole quote, it's like, dude, he's right. Like, he's not wrong. But the same thing could be said about any form of entertainment or hobbies or leisure activities, right? And so, you know, you have all these gamers talking about how people get so offended by everything. Why can't they just, like, take jokes or be more thick-skinned? And then Joe Rogan on one of his episodes was like, video games are a real problem, you know? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm gonna start over. Video games are a real problem. You know why? Because they're fucking fun. You do them, and they're real exciting, but you don't get anywhere. Joe Rogan has described video games as a waste of time for quote-unquote most people. I don't know. Do you see anything offensive about that?
I think people that go hiking are wasting their time, but, you know, I'm not making offensive quotes about it.
But he was, to me, that's not offensive, because he even said, like, he's like, video games are a waste of time because they're fun. Like, they're not, like, people, like, they're not boring and people are, like, being miserable playing it. They're fucking having a good time and losing track of time.
Yeah, and I would say probably some people don't. I mean, I guess some people just don't enjoy video games, so, I mean, it would be a waste of time for them to play, too.
Right.
In that sense.
But, you know, it's kind of like that Kanye West line about how he's always trying to get money or women, and he's like, when he's chasing one, he's losing out on the other. Or money or women. Yeah, money or women. He's always chasing after money or women, so when he's chasing after one, he's losing out on the other. So it's like that. If you want to play, if you want to do other things and to play video games, you probably shouldn't play as much video games because you won't have as much time to do the other.
You mean I shouldn't be trying to go after the new title for this season in Destiny?
I mean, as long as you're managing your time and not, like, you know, neglecting the rest of your adult life, then yes, do it.
I guess only neglecting some of it, not all of my adult life.
True.
I still go to work, and I still pay the bills, so I guess...
That's the important part.
Yeah. Now, food has been neglected. There's been some very, I would say, non-California standard meals for dinner. So, you know.
So you have to shut down, Sean. You're drinking beer and drinking and eating non-California or New York standard meals, so you're going to have somebody show up and knock on your door and shut you down for 2 weeks. Sorry, sir. You're going to have to move out for that. You're not compliant.
I think there was like one night, there was like a gaming night. It was like, who's making food? Cause, and you know, it's like a betting game now. Like, who's going to get so hungry, like, they're going to give and make food, right? So, like, you know, because it's me and the girlfriend are both playing separate games, but we both want to play, but we're both getting hungry. We want to eat, but we don't want to make the food. And it was just like, well, I'll make you a bowl of cereal. And it was like, I don't want that. And then I'm like, fine. And then I made myself a bowl of cereal. I'm just getting stared at like, well, I wanted the bowl of cereal. I'm like, you already had your chance. And again, this is like 11 o'clock at night.
Power would have been to take a couple bites and then give that one to her and then move on and go get yourself a fresh bowl that hasn't been tainted.
No, it was the last of the milk.
Oh, well then, yes, power move. Yeah, like, I've learned there's certain things where, like, as far as, like, sharing food, there's certain things where it's, like, I don't mind sharing. I'll order just one. Mm-hmm. But there's other times where, like, I'll go to order something, and she's like, ooh, can I have some of yours? And I'm like, okay, then can I get two of those? And she's like, but I don't want the whole thing. And I'm like, but I do.
It's like, that's true. It's like, it's like, are you getting a soda? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Can I have a sip of it? No. We're getting two sodas.
Yes. Especially, like, you know, even, they're like, well, there's free refills, and it's like, well, what kind of soda do you want? And they say a type, and you're like, yeah, I don't want that kind, so we're going to get two. I don't want to sacrifice my soda choice to share.
Yeah, no, there's a very hard line in the sand that, if I'm getting a soda, it's probably Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibb, because I will literally come home and have water instead of having other soda at times, because I just feel like the soda is not even worth it. Like, I don't want the Coke. Like, I want a Dr. Pepper. And you know what the next best soda after Dr. Pepper is? A water. That's my feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so then, like, there are times where it's like, I'll order something, and she's like, but I didn't, like, she'll get upset, like, you're wasting it. I'm like, no, I'm not wasting it. You're wasting it, because you said you wanted some of mine, and I want all of mine. And I might even have some of yours. That's how much I want this all.
Dude, I totally felt betrayed from Taco Bell. This started in Toledo. So as you know, this is probably like a year ago now, 18 months ago. I went to a certain Taco Bell because I knew they had Dr. Pepper. And when I ordered it, they're like, "We no longer serve Dr. Pepper. We have great tasting wild cherry Pepsi." And I'm like, "Nope, that's not an accurate description of what you just gave me. I wanted a Dr. Pepper."
So did you order no soda and stop at like a 7-Eleven or something on the way home and get a Dr. Pepper?
I think at that time I just went ahead with the wild cherry Pepsi, and I just fucking hated my life that whole night as I ate my Taco Bell and had to drink wild cherry Pepsi.
You had to choke it down?
Yeah, because sometimes, like, because when I go to Taco Bell now, I know that I can't get Dr. Pepper there, so sometimes I'll be like, I'll deal with it and I'll have the wild cherry Pepsi, or I'll just have a Pepsi. Dude, it's just, like, Pepsi and Coke is just not... It's not even close, man. It's so unsatisfying.
Which, I'm the opposite. Like, if I go someplace and it's like, I see Cherry Coke or Cherry Pepsi as an option, I get excited because not many places have those as options.
Yeah. That's fair. But
you're just a monster.
No, I'm not. I had to tell my Destiny clan that I was just like, Mountain Dew is a sin. It's terrible.
See, monster.
You know what the sad part was? Is that me and Brownie actually agreed on something.
So that means you're wrong?
I might be.
Like, wait, she agreed with me. I'm wrong. I think we have to declare a code red on this podcast, Sean.
What? Oh. I'm a gamer and I don't drink Mountain Dew. It's impossible.
Sean's a fake gamer girl. He's such a fake gamer girl that he's not even a girl. Well, speaking of, before I forget, dude, there was a trailer for this game that got taken, and it got taken down off YouTube.
Yeah.
But apparently, I'm guessing it's a PC game on Steam because Steam just lets people throw whatever shit they want on there now.
Yeah.
And the game is you're the Twitch moderator for a gamer girl.
Oh my god, that's so stupid.
And so people took to calling it Simp the Game. So like and it seems like it's like a real girl. It's not even like drawn. And so like, you know, people will like call her names in the chat and you have to like get rid of that before she sees it, or she'll, like, make requests to you in that, like, high-pitched, fucking girly, whiny voice. And you have to, like, meet them and make her happy.
Wow. That's terrible.
I thought so, too. Exactly. Yeah.
You know what the game I want to play on Steam is, and I just need to do it, is that I don't know if you saw it, but it's the Devil Girls in Tuxedos game.
No, but it's I don't like, have... I have an Apple, so I can't play Steam games.
Yeah. You should just buy a laptop so you can do better research, I guess.
You mean even more of the research than I do, that I do now? Which is, like, almost all of it, so I should just do all of it?
Yeah, instead of 90%, you should do a 100%.
I don't know, man. Like, the shows where I do 100% of the research suck, like this one.
I mean, I'm hoping that you're going to skip the next topic because I didn't get a chance to even watch the movie I wanted to watch.
And I stayed up till like midnight to watch it. with my internet going bad to where I had to exit the app and go because it kicked me out, and I had to go back in and start 10 minutes before because it had stopped recording that I was watching it, and then it would like lag, so I'd have to pause it and like get up and go do things to let it buffer and then come down.
Bro, I was raiding last night, man.
It took me like 2 hours. I watched it Friday night, and it took me like 2 hours to watch an 85-minute long movie.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Maybe you should have better gear or a better internet or something.
Don't put
that on me. All right,
I'm putting it on VRV because for some reason VRV like sucks at night.
Probably.
So I guess we're skipping the next topic and we'll move on to the next topic that I told you to watch like for the last like 4 episodes, but I know you're not going to watch it ever. So we'll go ahead and talk about it now.
I don't even know what Old Guard is.
You know, I've told you like 4 times too, which just makes it even more funny.
What is Old Guard?
So Old Guard that I watched is a Netflix movie that's based on a Greg Rucka comic book.
Oh, I remember now.
See, I did tell you.
I know, I didn't. I wasn't doubting you told me.
So basically, the story is there's a group of 4 people that are like they can heal, and at some point, they don't know when they just stop healing. And so they're kind of mercenaries, like a la the A-Team. And they get called out on a mission, and it's a setup. And like as they're like recovering or whatever, they have visions of somebody else. And they realize they could see another person that's gained the powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go find this person who's like a Marine in Iraq, or Afghanistan, I mean. And so Charlize Theron is the star of the movie. And they kind of, like, there's a, the first story is like 6 issues, and they're partway through the second arc.
Mm-hmm.
And so the movie kind of ties, like, it's mostly based on the first arc, but they tie some elements from the second arc in, because, like, the new character isn't introduced until the second arc of the comic.
Gotcha.
And so people are kind of complaining about it because, first of all, you know, why is a woman, like, the leader of, like, in an action movie? Like, shouldn't it, when it should be a man? And
they probably don't like the Prime Minister of Finland either.
Right. And so, like, you know, I was reading this interview with Charlize Theron from her, like, press junket of this movie, and she was talking about that, about how she gets dismissed as an action star because she was in, like, Atomic Blonde, and she was in Mad Max Fury Road. And she was also in an older movie called The Italian Job with Marky Mark and Seth Green and Ed Norton, where they basically like drive, it's basically a commercial for Mini Coopers.
Mm-hmm.
with actors in it, like, I mean, a full length movie length commercial of Mini Coopers, because that's what they do. They like rob things and like drive Mini Coopers around.
Gotcha.
So it's like Ocean's 11 or like a what's that word called, like a film where like they a heist film, that's the word, a heist film where they drive Mini Coopers. So she talked about how she had to have like double the training. Like she had to start her training like earlier than all the guys did because they felt that she needed more training as a woman. And so then when it came to like film, like, so she was like pissed, and that motivated her. And she's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to do this shit. And so she like learned how to handle the cars and all the stunts and stuff. And so when it came to like actually filming the movie, she said she was like getting frustrated because the dudes like, weren't able to do like most of their own stunts. And there's like one scene where they have to do like donuts, and Mark Wahlberg like ended up throwing up a couple times because he got sick, motion sick from it. And so she's like, yeah, fuck those dudes, man. Like I did almost all my own stunts in that movie. Like when you see me driving the car, like I'm really driving the car because I learned.
Vroom vroom, vroom. Bitches.
So I haven't started reading the second arc. I only knew the new character is in it because of the internet. But yeah, the Old Guard comic, like if you want to read a really good comic, pick up the first trade of the Old Guard. Shit, pick up anything by Greg Rucka, right?
Pretty much.
Because he was the one that started the Batwoman, the most recent Batwoman run in the Detective Comics when she got relaunched.
Correct.
It's probably been like 5 or 10 years now at least.
Yeah, but still. Yeah, he also did the Blackest Night Wonder Woman 3-part series as well, which was pretty fun. And then some of his independent stuff is also really good. I liked Whiteout as well.
Whiteout was good.
A good like little crime did comic.
They also made a movie out of.
They did. They certainly did.
Which was pretty good if you want to check that out. Him and like Jason Aaron.
If you ever see Greg Rucka, ask for that Sharpie back for me.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's still my like, favorite con story. The first convention we ever went to together, like literally like 10 minutes into the con, he's like, I want to go get Greg Rucka's autograph. And so we go over there and, you know, per, like, instructions from a friend who was a con veteran, like, we brought multiple Sharpies of different colors, and we had a silver Sharpie, and I gave it to him because the cover was dark, and so he had Greg Rucka sign it and walk away, and we got, like, 20 feet away, and I reached my hand out, and he's like, what? And I'm like, can I get the Sharpie that I paid for? And he was like, oh, Greg Rucka owns it now. And I'm like, you're not going to go back and get it? He's like, Greg Rucka owns it. It's Greg Rucka's.
And this is why we have multiple color Sharpies now when we go to conventions.
We have multiple of multiple color Sharpies. I'm like, well, that was our only silver one. And he's like, I don't know what to say, man. And I'm like, you can say you can go back and get it. And you're like, no, no, no. That's Greg Rucka's.
He owns the Sharpie.
He owns it, yes.
Hopefully he didn't throw it away in the trash when he left the con. And he appreciates
it. He probably, like, treasured it because silver Sharpies are, like extra special. Like, I saw this post on Reddit, and someone was, like, saying that their black Sharpies kept getting stolen, so they bought a color pack of Sharpies and just put the yellow Sharpie cap on their black Sharpies. Like, stop your Sharpies from getting stolen. And so somebody's, like, one of the comments was that somebody kept stealing their pens, and, like, where they work, everything had to be written in black, blue or black ink. And so he bought these, like, nice pens, and so people kept stealing it, and he found out that they came in a variety of colors. So he just switched the ink cartridges out, and he found out that who was stealing the pen when someone got in trouble for turning the work in pink ink. Oh, man. But, yeah, dude, like, it broke streaming records on the day it was released. Like, a bunch, like, all the people watched it except Sean. It's a really good movie, though. You should watch it, Sean. You know what? I mean, you're management. It's not like you do anything at work. Just download it on Netflix. Just watch it when you're sitting there, like, with your feet up on your desk, waiting for everybody to finish the job so you can go home at the end of the day.
Maybe. We'll see.
That
seems like a lot of work, man.
It's more work than you do already. So, I guess someone in management would think that would be a lot of work. Phone to someone you work with and order them to download it.
I guess so.
And if they don't, then write them up for failing to work as directed. Oh, man. Another movie I watched is a movie called Blockers. Fuck this movie, man. Like this movie originally, I remember when it first came out and they started advertising it, it was called Cock Blockers.
Really?
Yes. And then they changed it to where it was like a chicken symbol and then the word blockers, but everybody just called it blockers because apparently it offended somebody to call it cock blockers, even though it's supposed to be like an R-rated teen comedy that they toned down to like almost PG levels.
Wow.
So you don't even get like, there's one shot of some dude's balls.
Is this a Seth Rogen movie or is it Seth Rogen's little brother?
I don't know who directed it, but the main star in it is John, You Can't See Me, Cena.
Gotcha.
And so the story is, like, it starts off with, like, three parents dropping off their kids, their three daughters at school, and they become friends, and then it flash forwards to them in high school, and it's coming up on prom, and one of them has, like, a long-term boyfriend, and she's like, I'm gonna lose my virginity at prom, and, like, they all make a pact that they're going to lose their virginity at prom. And while they're like out, going to prom or whatever, they like the three are at the one girl's house with her mom. Like it's one mom and two dads and they're at the same house. And I guess she leaves her computer open. So it keeps dinging, you know, she has her phone and her computer linked together.
Yeah.
So she's like, it's dinging with all the messages and the mom's like, well, I'm just going to go shut it. And she ends up reading the messages and, so the whole point is the three parents are chasing their daughters down to stop them from losing their virginity. So, like, Leslie Mann is in it, Judd Apatow's wife, John Cena, and then this guy, Ike Barinholtz, who's been in a bunch of Seth Rogen movies. So I guess it was produced by, like, the team that did Superbad, the Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen. But it wasn't written or directed by either of them.
Gotcha.
So it's like a knockoff version of a Seth Rogen movie, basically. And so, I mean, I'm not like it's not like I need, like, to see, like, boobs to make a movie funny, but if you're going to make an R-rated prom night movie, because you went out of your way to establish that all the girls are, all the kids are 18 because they're in high school, they're at prom, right?
Yes.
Why do I have to see some, like the only, like, nudity is some old man's balls?
Who knows? Good question.
And so, like, the only funny story arc, like, I'm going to spoil stuff because you don't need to watch this movie, but the only funny story arc is, like, the one dad, the other dad is, like an absentee father, but he knows his daughter is gay,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, like, so she ends up, like, kind of being peer pressured to take this dude to going to prom with this dude, even though she doesn't want to. And the dad's, like, picking up on it, like, the two are, like, John Cena and Leslie Mann are, like, my daughter's going to have sex and I don't want her to. And he's, like, my daughter's going to have sex with a man and she doesn't want to. And he's, like, dude, she's a lesbian, like, and so the whole movie he's just, like, look, man, like, I'm not going to force her to, like, play with some dude's dick if she doesn't want to. Like, she should be, if she wants to have sex with a woman, let her have sex with a woman. So, it's just, so they end up, like, of course, you know, catching them, and, like, Leslie Mann somehow gets in the room where the daughter's going to have sex, and, like, it's all set up nicely and romantic and stuff, and as she's there, they, of course, they walk in, and she has to, like, she can either, like, say something, but then she decides, you know what, she's old enough, I guess, like, I lost my virginity around the same age. Well, I don't know why I have to protect her. And so, like, they all kind of meet up at the hotel bar and decide that maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to, for their daughter to have sex.
Fair enough.
And so, it just, there was a lot, it was like, it wasn't as funny as it should have been. And I think it's because they had to hold back. It's like when Spider-Man, like, fights, like, a normal bank robber versus when he's fighting, like, the Green Goblin. Like, he's not gonna punch some dude that just is, like, wearing a ski mask, like, holding up a liquor store as hard as he's gonna, you know, I don't know, punch, like, Rhino or the Hulk. So, and sometimes in holding back, you limit your powers.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I watched this movie, this abomination. Well, it's a good movie, unless you consider it has source material. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's called the movie Dark Tower, based on the Stephen King saga. And so people were upset, like, when it was finally they announced the casting, and they cast Idris Elba as the gunslinger Roland.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the movie, in the book, he's white. And it only matters because, like, in later books, he ends up, like, putting together, like, getting two colleagues or sidekicks or assistants or whatever. And one of them's a black woman that kind of comes from, like, the height of the civil rights era, and she's very bitter towards white men. And so, like, it's Roland, this guy Eddie, who's addicted to drugs, and don't know why I can't remember her name off the top of my head, well, because I'm a monster, I think, but she's, like, wheelchair bound. I want to say Loretta, but she's, like, wheelchair bound, and she's very against white people. And so it kind of plays into the dynamic, and she thinks that the white man is going to rape her. And eventually, like, once Eddie, like, kicks the drugs and she realizes they're not bad dudes, like, Eddie and her end up, like, getting married in the book. And so they're like, wait, how are they going to call him a racist white man if he's a black dude? Right?
Yeah.
But then that only comes into play if they're going to make a movie based on the books, not just based on the title of the books, because that's all this was. Was they took the core concept of the book and condensed it into one movie and then forgot everything else. Like someone read, like, someone who read the Cliff Notes did a summary of the plot to somebody who wrote the story, is how they got it. Like, nobody read the book. And, like, this movie was in, these movies were in, like, development hell, as they call it, for years. And so I guess it seems like this is, like, the compromise. It's like, fine, you're not going to make all the movies. Let's just make one movie. But that being said, if you ignore the fact that there's source material and, like, all the, you know, actual story that's involved, it's not a bad movie. Like, if you haven't read the books or you don't care about the books, it's not a bad movie. It's really good. Idris Elba is amazing. Matthew McConaughey plays his part amazing. The way that they incorporate some of the stuff from the book and put it into the book, into the movie, I mean, and they, like, instead of meeting like three people, he meets one person, and they kind of it's supposed to be kind of like Eddie, but without the drugs, because he's like a high school kid or junior high kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I don't know how to feel, because like I said, it's a really, really good movie. It's a really, really bad representation of the source material.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I know that whole series has a lot of different information and stories to tell. So, I mean, I think it's kind of tough too. Like when you know you have so much material to cover, like how much of an investment you're going to try to make to capitalize on it.
Right. And then like the main villain of this series, the Man in Black, he's also like the main villain in The Stand. He's also the main villain in like Needful Things, and some, like, basically he's like the overarching villain in almost every Stephen King book. And this is the one where this is the story where you kind of realize, wait, this is the same dude, like, from those other stories.
Yeah.
Like, because they've done that before, though, with a Stephen King book. Like, the movie Insomnia is, like loosely based on the book. And the book, but the book is really good. Probably one of my favorite Stephen King books.
Hmm.
But I have, like, watched only part, and it has Anthony Hopkins in it, too. Like, Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Don't forget the Sir.
Aw, man. Once you've earned it, you gotta use it for life. Oh man, but Sean, I know you did your anime rant, and we haven't necessarily watched a new anime enough to discuss one, because I'm still catching up on keeping up with Azuka-chan wants to hang out, and I still haven't watched this week's episode of the Demon High School.
Yeah, dude, that's like the thing when we get like a bunch of episodes or a bunch of animes we're watching, but we're watching them week by week. It feels like it cuts out on other anime time to like catch up and knock out a series like in a week or so.
Right. So, but this, like right now, like we mentioned last week, the PlayStation Summer Sale is going on, and so they had a demo for the Kill la Kill fighting game.
Correct. And so it took a while to download the demo, and I got to try playing it this morning. So I hit story mode first, Danny. And dude, it was such a mistake to hit story mode. Did you go through the story mode?
Actually, first thing I did was I hit up the
versus.
But not even the versus, but the waves challenge.
Gotcha.
Where you have to kill like so many, and like you have to kill 100 enemies, and it's timed.
Gotcha.
I did that first.
I didn't even do that. So I hit story, and it basically takes you. It like explains what's going on, and you start in the middle of the anime where everybody. It's like a free for all, and you end up fighting the Elite Four. I was like, okay, so the demo's going to be you're going to fight the first person from the Elite Four. It simulates that you beat all four of them, and then so the main character is about to fight the student president, and then you take over the student president's body because like her mom and stuff shows up. So like the story starts to get like changed because obviously it's like Kill la Kill what if kind of version,
or like from a different point of view.
Yeah. And so, like,
their own story.
Yeah, so you kind of learn to play the game, but it takes, like, 10 minutes of, like, random videos before you even get to that part. And then it explains how to, like, use the game. Yeah. What was that?
I said because of the Japanese.
No, they were just playing so many videos of, like, explaining the story.
Apparently the Japanese like to watch a lot of videos in their movies. Yes.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, they were like basically like explaining the whole story of Kill la Kill. So it was like, oh, come on, man.
Right.
It took so long. It took so long to get there. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and then like, I was able to play that, and then I did a versus, and then I was done.
Right. And the reason why the demo takes so long to download is because PlayStation's been doing a thing where for their demos, you basically have to download the whole file for the game so that if you just, which sucks if you only want to play the demo, which is amazing if you like, you play the demo and you decide to buy the game because then you already have the full file of the game downloaded, which is why they do that.
Yeah.
So, like, because it's like an 8 gigabyte download.
It is quite a bit. I thought the game, I don't play fighting games, so I wasn't overly interested in it when, we were told to do this, but, it was actually, it had interesting gameplay as far as fighting, and it seems like, to me, if you are very good at countering and dodging, you're gonna own that game.
Yes, and that seems to be, like even like the Final Fantasy fighting game series, where it's not about punching. It's very like almost like anti like American anti like Street Fighter, where it's like it's not about punching. It's about defending and combos and not losing, basically.
Correct. So, but I thought it was interesting because you had like short attacks. You could do distance attacks. You had your like the power moves were pretty easy to do. So it was pretty interesting. For a fighting game. But again, I'm not overly into fighting games, so it wasn't like it was going to be a game I was going to buy.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to buy it either. I'm not a huge fighting game fan, but and the other reason why is because Waifu Mako is downloadable content.
She's only you have to download her?
Yes.
Oh, terrible. Terrible news.
So, I don't know, man. It was fun if you're into fighting games. So I'll say that. I'll give it that much credit. So I've been playing a new game, Sean. Well, new to me, old to other people, but South Park's Fractured But Whole.
Yes.
And at first, like, because I never played the Stick of Truth, and at first, like, they start making references to the Stick of Truth, and I'm like, shit, should I have played the Stick of Truth to know what's going on?
Yeah.
And basically, it's like, you don't necessarily need to play the Stick of Truth, but it does make references to the ending of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want the game spoiled, you should probably play it first.
Gotcha.
But then the other thing is there's a prequel episode of South Park to this video game.
Really?
Where you get introduced to the characters and the reason why, like, some people left. Like, not all the kids are on the same team.
Gotcha.
Because there's, like, Cartman is the coon, like, a raccoon hero, and he has, like, some people, and then there's another team led by Tweak.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so that episode kind of explains why not only, like, did they split away from the team, but then Craig and Tweak broke up, and so that's one of the missions is you kind of have to help get I'm working towards is trying to get them back together. Yeah, like they did like a property exchange, and now like I have to go to couples counseling with them because I'm like Craig's like partner or whatever, and we'll keep it like safe or whatever, and then Tweak wants me to go because Craig is less of an asshole when I'm around.
Yeah.
And so but it's funny because you start off, you kind of pick your character, and so you're going and like you get missions throughout the game. Like one of the missions is you have to go and pick your kryptonite because no hero can be impervious to everything. That's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so then later on you have to go talk to Mr. Mackey at the school counselor, and then you have to pick whether you're a boy or a girl and if you're straight or not. And then you run into PC Principal and he teaches you what a microaggression is. And so anytime you're fighting now and someone says a microaggression, like a prompt pops up for you to push X, and you go over and punch the person for committing a microaggression.
Oh, really?
But after you meet PC Principal, you get called back to Mr. Mackey's office because he realized that he was being insensitive and didn't have all the gender and sexuality options available. So you have to go back and repick your gender and your sexuality, and there's like 20 different sexuality options. And you know. Both times when you pick like both times when you pick your gender and your sexuality, like you walk out of the school and a group of rednecks come up. So it's like, oh, look here, it's a cisgender boy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take pride in your type around here. And then I changed the second time. I was like, I switched to a girl because they came out with a costume that looked like the Huntress.
Gotcha.
So I switched to that and became a girl. But I was like, I'm going to pick up just a random sexuality. So then I come out and it's like, we don't take kindly to this. And then you have to fight them again. So it's like, it's a more advanced version of the game Costume Quest, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. There's more puzzles to solve. There's combos that you can do with your teammates. Like, there's one teammate that's a Captain Diabetes that, like, gets his strength from drinking apple juice and getting into, like, diabetic, like, shock, basically. But then he has to take insulin or else he dies. And so you can call him over. And when you realize that, like his kryptonite is weakness because his mom farted when he gave birth. And that's why, when she was giving birth to him, that's why he has diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of which, as we're talking about the diabetes, rest in peace, Wilford Brimley. He passed away yesterday at the age of 88.
Wow.
Surprisingly, neither to diabetes or COVID. But then another thing in the game is there's a toilet mini game.
Oh, really?
So you go to, like, because you basically, like, any, like, RPG, good RPG, you go into people's houses and, like, raid shit, like, from their drawers in the refrigerator and stuff for crafting and help, like, potions. And but you sit on the toilet and you basically do a shitting mini game. And some of the toilets are like 2-star difficulty and some are 4-star. So just depending on how many like mini games you do, and like in between each mini game, you have to like quote unquote gas it up by like rotating the sticks on the controller, and that's your timer basically, how much time you have to complete that section, and then you get like a reward for completing the toilet. And the one thing that bothers me, though, is, like, you're dressed, of course. You know, they're not going to have you get naked or whatever, drop your pants to take a shit. But then you don't wash your hands. There's not an option to wash your hands.
This game is unplayable.
It is, man. It definitely has all the South Park humor. You're the farting vigilante as you become known to the town after you complete, like, the first, like, major story arc.
Jeez.
each story arc takes place during a day, so like you're roaming around playing. No matter how long it takes you to play the game, it isn't until you complete a particular quest, then it's like, oh, you've done this, okay, it's getting late, you should go home and go to bed, kind of a thing. It's nighttime. Dude, the game is fun, though. Like, there's a lot of walking around, and it's not very fast walking because you have South Park legs. But then, like, for the there are fast travel stations that you can unlock, mm-hmm. And Jimmy is the Flash. His superpowers are super speed, even though he has his walker.
Oh my god!
But he's the one that like carries you when you go to the fast travel station. Like, he actually goes super fast. And there's like puzzles where you have to like combine your farting powers with Kyle, Rob Blasky. Mm-hmm. He's Kite Man, so then you use him, like, you use your fart powers and his kite to, like, get higher up. And then, you call him and he just, like, comes flying in, and then you call him, like, once you're done, he, like, takes off, flies away.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a weird mix of, like, kids' imagination and, like, wait, is it real? Because they're doing this shit.
That's funny.
And then, you have to work for the police. Mm-hmm. Like in the game, like, you know, there's that one episode where like the kids want to become junior detectives and they actually send them to like raid a drug house.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go raid a drug house, but it's just a black dude. And you bring him in, and like, so then you get called back, and it's like, that dude was just the low man on the totem pole. So then the real crime boss is this other black dude, and it's like Token's dad is like the real crime boss. And so you go in, you're like, you encounter Token's dad, and he's like, wait, what are you doing here? You can't just break into people's houses. And so the story of the game is, like, people are stealing cats. Because there's that episode where, like, the cat pheromone or whatever was the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so people would have, like, cat... Like, Kenny got high on it and, like, forced the cats to spray in your face.
Wow.
That's basically, like, you have to go rescue the cats.
Interesting.
So... But it's, like, turn-based combat. Everybody, like, there's combos and everybody has different powers based on their superhero name.
Gotcha.
I can't highly recommend it enough, man. Especially like for the price I paid, I got it for like $10.
Fair enough, man.
Dude, it's an amazingly fun game, especially if you're a fan of South Park.
Fair enough, man. That's not bad at all, man. I've always heard those games are pretty good, so it's good to get some more insight on the game.
Right. Oh, and like at the beginning of the game, like the when you choose your difficulty level, you pick it based on the color of your skin.
Yeah.
So like the darker your skin, the more difficult the game. And I guess it's like and like as you're picking, I'm looking to see what it said, like reading what the description was on each difficulty. Mm-hmm. And like, if you take too long, Cartman will come up and like give his thoughts and opinions. And he was like, so when I was looking at the difficulty screen, he was like, you know, the harder difficulties isn't going to affect combat. It's just going to affect how people treat you and how much like money you earn when you complete missions.
Wow. That's intense.
So, again, if this game came out now, I wonder how people would react or if it would get a pass because it is South Park.
That's a good question. It's hard to say. They're always pushing the edge. And I mean, it's not like they're... I think they're also bringing to light the information. I mean, I think that's probably why they get away with it as well.
Right. Like, they make valid points, but by making people laugh instead of, like, accusing them of being, like, evil or bad or whatever.
Correct.
So, I don't know.
Who knows? All right, everybody. That is it for today's show. Thanks for hanging out for another fantastic episode. Danny, we got through a ton of stuff, a lot of anime drama, but we were able to drink our beer and move away.
Yes, we were. I mean, you know, like Homer Simpson says, here's to beer, the cause and solution to all of life's problems.
Exactly. Make sure you're following us on all those fantastic sites, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, I can't remember all these fucking places you could listen to our bullshit at.
Or not at all.
Or not at all. That works too.
Like the majority of people.
You could follow Danny on Untapped. You could follow me on Untapped. But again, until I become a social habit of going to breweries, you probably won't see much action from me.
What is the Untapped handles, Sean, since you're throwing them out there so people know?
For yours, it's for Danny, it's Sir Hoppyhead, and then I think mine is just under Sean.
It's Dr. Doom 2828.
Correct. I can't remember because I changed my Instagram one, so I can't remember. I got to get all that stuff aligned. I got that old man problem. Can't keep things straight.
Yes, that does sound like an old man problem. It's hard to keep things hard.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, man. Make sure you also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Danny.
If you're listening to this on an Apple device, please give us a review because apparently that helps.
It would always... It does help to have friendly comments. Alright, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later. Apparently there's a car mechanic simulator in addition to the...